I can think of at least two good reasons why we would hear the gospel of the temptation on the first Sunday of Lent. And the first is, I think, obvious, that we pattern our 40 days of Lent after Jesus going into the wilderness and fasting for 40 days. And it's almost kind of humorous how the evangelist says, and after fasting for 40 days, he was hungry. And you're just like, really? But the other probably valuable lesson to the church having this reading at the beginning of Lent is that we're 5 days in to the Lenten season. And perhaps if you're like me, you already find yourself struggling with some of your Lenten practices. And so the church puts before us this call to engage in spiritual combat. One of my favorite saints of the early church is St. John Chrysostom. Now, his name, Chrysostom, means golden-tongued. And he was given that name because he was such a famous preacher. In fact, he was so good that he would preach hours at a time, and people would beg him to continue. Now, I don't think that I'm going to get that type of response to my homily today, but nonetheless, he is one of the great preachers in the history of the church. And in one of his great sermons, commenting on the temptation scene, St. John Chrysostom says this: "Few Christians boast that they truly know the contents of Scripture. Instead, many boast that they have beautiful Bibles written with golden letters. But what gain is that? God did not give us Scripture that it might simply be left in a book, but that His Word would be engraved upon our hearts." Now, part of the Lenten observance is to really root ourselves in prayer. Now, I could be wrong. I think was the gospel verse, "One does not live on bread alone"? We'll say it was, okay? And if it wasn't, just pretend. "One does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Prayer has to be rooted in our Lenten observance through it. Diligent in daily reading of the Scriptures, because it's there that God speaks to us, where the Father has written a love letter for His children to pick up and read. But reading Scripture is not always easy, is it? And we oftentimes get distracted. The gospel can go by like that, and then we'll say, "What was it again?" I know that happens to me regularly. But Jesus warns us of this in the parable of the sower. In that famous parable, he says to us as a type of warning that while the word of God is sown generously upon the soil of our souls, oftentimes the seed, which is the word of God, does not really take deep root in our hearts. And that oftentimes the evil one, he says, comes and steals away the word of truth that God is trying to plant before it can bear abundant fruit in us. So already Jesus is warning us as his disciples that when it comes to reading the word of God, we have to be extra diligent in receiving the word of God as it is. Is a word of God speaking to us today. But that means we have to have a disposition of faith that God really is speaking through His word. We have to trust that the Holy Spirit that's been given to us in our baptism is really working in us to make the text of Scripture alive. Origen, another church father, said, "You don't need a commentary on the Scriptures? He said, the very same Holy Spirit who inspired the Scriptures lives inside of you because of your baptism and is there to help you interpret the Word of God if you only call upon the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is meant to be engraved on our hearts and not left as decorative pieces on our coffee tables, but to be living, to be dynamic, to be an essential part of our Christian discipleship. And our Lenten observance is a beautiful time of realizing that we cannot live on bread alone. Bread can nourish our bodies, but we must live also on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. That just as our bodies need fed every day, so too do our souls, in order for us to live in that relationship that God so desires for us to have with Him. So in the gospel, what we see is that as Jesus is going into the desert to be tempted, He's undoing the work of the first Adam in the garden. If Adam in Genesis goes into the garden and is tempted and he falls to the serpent, the devil, and is disobedient, then Jesus is the new Adam, the Scriptures tell us. He is the father of a new creation, just as we are all part of the family of the first Adam by descendancy. And what does he do? He combats the devil, and he is victorious, and the angels come and minister to him. That should give us consolation that in Jesus Christ we can overcome temptation, brothers and sisters. The Word of God says that God never tempts us more. Well, first of all, God doesn't tempt us. But God never allows us to be tempted more than we can handle. We have to believe that. Temptation is real. But God will never let us be tempted more than we can handle. But God Himself is never the origin of temptation. Rather, He allows it in His providential will as a way of bringing us closer to Him. That's why we have that second to last petition of the Lord's Prayer that we pray every day. Lead us not into temptation. Not because God is leading us into temptation. It's an old English way of saying, may we not be led into temptation. But we pray that every day, because we know that our flesh is weak. Jesus Himself says, the flesh is willing, the spirit is weak. Sorry, this is early morning syndrome without coffee, Father Nick. Reverse. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Coffee. You know, that's one of the hard things about doing the 7 a.m. is that coffee breaks the Eucharistic fast, and so I have to wait unless I get up really early. But the devil is a real source of temptation in our life. But so is the world and the flesh. That's what St. John says in his first epistle, that the three sources of temptation for us are the devil, the flesh, and the world. In fact, if the devil didn't exist, there's still enough fallenness in us because of original sin that we would probably still falter, the saints tell us. So we can't, unfortunately, blame all of our sins on Satan. Now, he certainly has his role to play in tempting us and in oppressing us and keeping us bound in our sins. But we also have to claim our own responsibility, and we can't just play the blame game like Adam and Eve did and say, he made me do it. It doesn't work that way. We have to own our own sin, confess it humbly, without justifying ourselves. That's one of the things I find interesting as a newly ordained priest, is in the confessional, how often, sometimes I think instead of it being called the sacrament of confession, it should be, because of the way we do it, it should be called the sacrament of justification. Because you get the, you know, Father, I did this, this, and this, but it was because of my husband, it was because of my kids, it was because of this person. And I said, let's just humbly confess our sins and own it. Bring it to the Lord in humility and realize that Jesus is the only one who can justify us. We cannot justify ourselves because we are sinners. But there is a value to using the Word of God as our proper spiritual weapon in combating temptation. Because even though we didn't hear it in this version of the gospel in Matthew and Luke, that's what our Savior uses in his combat against the evil one. The evil one is called the father of lies. In fact, in your baptismal promises, which you'll renew at Easter with the whole church, you're asked if you reject Satan, the father of lies. Why? Because he's always whispering lies to us. For Jesus, it was, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into a loaf of bread. He's trying to make Jesus question his sonship. If your father really loved you, he would provide for you. Is your father really good? You see how subtle he tries to be? But Jesus says he's not going to engage the father of lies on his own terms. He uses God's word, which is a word of truth. And what does he respond? One does not live on bread alone, quoting the book of Deuteronomy, but on every word that pours forth from the mouth of my Father. You and I are taught a valuable lesson there, that we need to let the word of God, as St. John Chrysostom said, be engraved on our hearts, so that in those moments of human weakness, we can use those scripture verses. We can be people who abide in the truth of God's word when the father of lies and the enemy of our human nature tries to lead us into sin. The devil is very real, but Jesus Christ has been victorious. He not only defeated the evil one in the desert, but on the cross, he definitively destroyed his empire. And while we still see the effects of Satan's kingdom in this world, with so much violence and hatred and anger and division, which are all the works of the father of lies, we also see the manifestation of God's kingdom breaking into the world. Men and women and children who bring goodness and generosity and kindness and love and joy and compassion and truth. And that's what we're called to be as a people. But we can't do that on our own unless we learn to abide in God's word and let his word be engraved upon our hearts. Unless we let his word become a living word that we live out of, just as Jesus Christ lived out of the word. So this Lenten season, we're 5 days in. Technically, there's 42 days left to go. You can have a Lenten reprieve on Sunday, so I'm going to have some caramel rolls since I gave up desserts. But if you gave up sin, then I suspect you probably should continue to give up sin on Sundays. But if you gave up something like TV or movies or some type of food, you can enjoy it in a little moderation. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, I gave up desserts and Father Nick's eating caramel rolls, so I'm going to go and eat 2 dozen caramel rolls today. That'd be terrible because that would be gluttony. But to have those good things in moderation as a reprieve on Sunday is acceptable. Because if you count the Lenten days, the Sundays are excluded. And so enjoy today as we celebrate in a more somber way, but still the resurrection of Christ and his victory. And as we continue to Lent, let's follow our Savior as he moves towards the cross. Let's imitate him by being rooted in the scriptures and living lives of deep prayer and intimacy with our Father in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ.